Ajayan.
Worshipping.
Vishuddhena.
Pure.
Chetasa.
With a heart.
Tat.
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Chakirshitam.
The intended activities.
Prahrishyamanai.
Gladdened.
Asubhi.
With senses.
Gardamam.
To Gardamamuni.
Cha.
And Devahuti.
Idam.
This.
Abhyadhat.
Spoke.
Translation.
After worshipping the Supreme Lord with gladdened senses and a pure heart for his intended activities as an incarnation, Brahma spoke as follows to Gaudama and Devahuti.
Purport.
As explained in Bhagavad Gita, fourth chapter, anyone who understands the transcendental activities, the appearance, and the disappearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is to be considered liberated. Brahma, therefore, is a liberated soul. Although he is in charge of this material world, he is not exactly like the common living entity. Since he is liberated from the majority of the follies of the common living entities, he was in knowledge of the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he therefore worshipped the Lord's activities, and with a glad heart, he also praised Gaudama Muni, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as Kapila, had appeared as his son. One who can become the father of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is certainly a great devotee. There is a verse spoken by a Brahmana in which he says that he does not know what the Vedas and what the Puranas are. But while others might be interested in the Vedas or Puranas, he is interested in Nanda Maharaj, who appeared as the father of Krishna. The Brahmana wanted to worship Nanda Maharaj because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as a child, crawled in the yard of his house. These are some of the good sentiments of devotees. If a recognized devotee brings forth the Supreme Personality of Godhead as his son, how he should be praised. Brahma, therefore, not only worshipped the incarnation of Godhead Kapila, but also praised his so-called father, Gaudama Muni. Om Agana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Lord Brahma, being the head of our sampradaya, is showing us how to perform bhakti. We worship the Lord with gladdened senses and a pure heart. Brahma was doing this even before the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Kapila Dev, had appeared. He worshipped the Lord with gladdened senses and a pure heart simply by meditating on the Lord's intended activities, what the Lord was going to do. Already, just the advance notice, the preview, was enough to fill Brahma with transcendental delight. This is the nature of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means devotional service to the Lord. Krishna consciousness means activity. And simply by contemplating, I want to serve Krishna more. I want to engage my senses more in Krishna's service. There is an immediate effect on our life, our consciousness. And certainly when we engage in Krishna's service with our body, mind, and words, there is an effect. A devotee's life is joyful. Now, if we're not feeling joyful, we should analyze what's going on. Generally, we'll find there's a problem in our approach to Krishna consciousness. I've explained before that most everyone comes to Krishna consciousness for relief from material suffering. You try to enjoy and you get smashed. You try again and you're annihilated. Finally, you think, I can't take it anymore. Let me get some relief from somewhere. When I'm around the devotees, when I'm with the deities, when I'm in the temple, when I'm in the kirtan, I don't feel suffering anymore. Okay. That feeling, that sentiment is enough to get you into the front door. But then you've got to grow in bhakti, and that's where the excitement starts. Once you begin to realize, I've got to build my spiritual muscles. Now, how do you build your spiritual muscles? By increasing your desire. You desire more immersion in the world of Krishna consciousness. You desire to be surrounded more by Krishna conscious sense objects. Such a kind of desire is the healthy sign that you're becoming free from the disease of material existence. A devotee should be joyful and happy, gladdened senses and a pure heart. Think of that, gladdened senses. A devotee's not morose or lethargic or dull. A devotee is alive with the possibilities for serving Krishna. Not only are we doing things for Krishna, but we're always alive with the possibilities of more things we can do for Krishna or how we can do our present service better. This is real art. Krishna is the supreme artist, and he's giving us a chance to practice the art of bhakti, how to increase the absorption. That's the name of the game. Why is sense gratification attractive in the material world? What's so great about it? What's so fascinating and satisfying about, you know, intense biological experiences? What's the big deal? The big deal that we're looking for is absorption. Anything that seems to absorb our whole consciousness and our senses, we'll go for that. Of course, it doesn't take much experience to find out that after trying to absorb yourself in sense gratification, you become very disappointed, you become angry, you become frustrated. Now, our hope to actually have gladdened senses and a pure heart means absorption in devotional service. A devotee is keen on doing that, and therefore the devotee is happy because he's got this outlook, this vision. I want to be absorbed better and better in Krishna's service. I want more of an immersion. Just like if you're studying a foreign language, you can go to a regular course, you know, maybe an hour a week on evenings, or you can take what's called total immersion courses, where you're surrounded with the new language at every moment of the day. So we want a total immersion in Krishna. Whether we're living in the ashram or living in our own home, our quest is how to heighten that immersion. We want to be surrounded by Krishna conscious sense objects. Then there's happiness. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Sasukam Kartamavyam, devotional service is joyfully performed, even within this material world. So we have to look at our attitude. What are my feelings? How do my senses feel in relation to Krishna's service? Am I actually trying to invest of myself in Krishna's service? Or am I just kind of hanging out? This each devotee has to decide. You see, Krishna likes to arrange situations for us so that we can exchange feelings with him. Feelings have such a great deal to do with bhakti yoga. Even in the condition or beginning stages of bhakti, still, feelings are very important. Krishna wants to see your attitude. Just like you in your everyday relationships with friends, with spouse, you're very concerned with that person's attitude. And as soon as you detect that the attitude is insensitive or mechanical, you become very disturbed. Krishna wants to see your attitude in regards to devotional service. The more that the feelings, the attitudes that we possess are pleasing to Krishna, the more Krishna rewards us with devotional service. Now, there is something we have to think about, because if we don't consider devotional service as a reward, then we might get angry at Krishna. Here I am, rendering service to you, and all you want to do is give me more service. I just want relief from material suffering. I just don't want to be hassled. I don't want any anxiety. And now you give me service and more service, which brings about anxiety, how to please you in this world. This is a misunderstanding of spiritual life. And therefore, as long as that misunderstanding is there, we're not going to be joyful, gladdened senses, and a pure heart. In fact, we may read Prabhupada's books and start thinking, all these statements are exaggeration, or these statements apply to the greatest souls, but for us, you know, what can we do? There's no hope for us except to engage in sense gratification and try again in Krishna consciousness, then fall down, try again. What can be done? That's just the way it is. No, if we start keeping track of our attitude, our feelings, what we do with them in bhakti yoga, you'll see a whole new world opens up to you. This is the mission that Srila Prabhupada has blessed us with, how to engage our feelings, our ambitions, our desires in Krishna's service. Therefore, we should be very happy if Krishna rewards us with more service. Just like after Krishna disappeared from his cowherd girlfriends before the Rasa Leela, and then he appeared again, he told them, I cannot repay you, even in a lifetime of Brahma, for all that you've done for me. Now, therefore, I ask you, just be satisfied with your service. That's not a small thing. That is the greatest thing, to have service to Krishna. And the Lord tells you, just be satisfied with your service. That's not a put down. That is a put up. Because Krishna, he can become so attracted by your feelings, your attitude, that he agrees to come under your control. Brijavashyata. That is the lesson of Damodar Leela. How Krishna agreed to be bound, not exactly by the rope of Mother Yashoda, but by her love. This is the fascinating thing that Krishna wants to demonstrate. You know what it's like when you want to demonstrate something to someone. You know how you take the trouble to make a presentation. I want to demonstrate this to you. And then, upon seeing the demonstration, I'm sure you're going to agree that this is wonderful. What does Krishna want to demonstrate? He wants to demonstrate through his Braj Leela, through his childhood pastimes in Vrindavan, how he comes under the control of his devotees. He wants to show that. Therefore, we sing during Kartik, Iti driksa lila bi ananda kunde, swagosham namajantam akyapayantam. The Lord, with his Baal Leela, plunges the residents of Vrindavan in pools of liquid ecstasy. He wants to show, Tadiyeshita geshu bhaktar jitatvam puna prematas tam shatavriti vande. He wants to show, just in case you're attracted to me in opulence, just in case you're attracted to my power, take a look at this. I'm running in fear from Mother Yashoda. And I'm being bound by Mother Yashoda's rope. Meditate on that. You may be a great performer of pious activities. You may be a great student of what is Brahman, metaphysical knowledge. You may be a great mystic yogi meditating on Paramatma in your heart. But just look at these childhood pastimes of mine. Just look at Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda did not care to know what is Brahman, what is Paramatma, what is Bhagavan. She simply was thinking, Krishna is my child. I must maintain him. I must feed him. I must protect him. I must discipline him. That's all she cared to know. And because of those feelings of pure love, Krishna agreed to come under her control. Last night, in our little gathering, we were speaking about great fortune, how everyone would like great fortune in their life. Mahabhaga. You'd like, as the years go by in your existence, that you could at least find some things in your life, some moments when you felt very fortunate. Oh, this is really wonderful that happened to me. I know sometimes you've had that feeling, even in illusory existence. You've had that feeling. You thought, now we've got it. We're really doing it. It's happening. It's all going on. This is it. Everyone wants those kind of magic moments. And yes, everyone gets a little bit of that. Even in a life of bad karma, still, Maya supplies some magic moments. Because the sinful activities of your past life translate into suffering in this life. But everybody does some little pious activity, even unconsciously, so they get a bit of material happiness. Otherwise, they would just commit suicide immediately. When you have no hope for any kind of pleasure or enjoyment, then you commit suicide. So everybody has some kind of hope. Few people are committing suicide. So when we look at Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, we see how the Lord bestows actual great fortune. We may not know about this until we take an interest in Krishna Leela. It's very important that devotees understand, what is the goal of my lifestyle? The goal of my lifestyle is to try and understand Krishna. That is not an ordinary thing. Because, as the Lord himself explains in Bhagavad Gita, if you get that great fortune of understanding who is Krishna, why Krishna appears in this world, how he appears, then, upon giving up the present body, you won't take another material body. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvata chakta deham punar janma naiti mame tu so Arjuna. Prabhupada quotes that verse in this purport. Anyone who understands the transcendental activities, the appearance and the disappearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is to be considered liberated. Our whole process of Krishna consciousness, bhakti yoga, is to produce liberated persons. That means free from material contamination, free from material suffering. Now you might say, impossible. Me become liberated, you become liberated. We all know what we're doing. We're just going on in Krishna consciousness as long as we can. If our senses get too powerful, well, you know what's going to happen. Meanwhile, we'll just try our best. We'll hang in there as much as we can. Or if we're from a comparatively pious background, we know how to render punya, how to have nice civilized family life and economic development, then our tack will be different. Yes, yes, some bhakti is good. Meanwhile, the main things in life, economic development and family consolidation, should not be disturbed. In either case, we fail to see what our actual career is. Our actual career is to understand Krishna. Sometimes it's hard for us, due to unconscious impersonalism, to realize that my whole life now in bhakti is dedicated to understanding someone else. Of course, in friendship, in marriage, you have to try to understand the other person. Those of you who are married know that the household life can't go on unless there's a non-stop, continuous attempt to understand each other. It goes on decade after decade after decade. But how often have we thought about our main career for understanding Krishna? How much have we asked ourselves that question? I'm here to understand Krishna. I'm here meaning I'm trying to establish myself in Krishna consciousness because my goal is to understand Krishna. What happens the more you understand Krishna, the more then you are able to put your feelings into devotional service. And the more your bhakti, the more your service is enriched with your feelings, the more Krishna is attracted. Krishna wants to see how you're feeling for him, how you're striving for him. Even if it can be anxiety, apparently, Krishna's watching. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, from one point of view, it seems they get nothing but anxiety from Krishna. They're always worried about Krishna. Showing us that real spiritual life doesn't mean some kind of artificial peacefulness according to a material conception. Real spiritual life means dynamic activity in Krishna's service, even to the point that you're in anxiety about Krishna. Just like in Vrindavan, Mother Yashoda wanted Krishna and Balaram to come back and take their meals. But they were so absorbed in playing with their playmates. Rohini went to tell them, it's time to come back. Please, stop your playing, come home. Rohini, she couldn't do it. They didn't listen to her. Mother Rohini came back and said to Yashoda, they're not listening to me, but we all know they love you more than me. Rohini was saying, even my own son Balaram loves you more than me. Yashoda Mai, you go. You tell them to come back. So Yashoda Mai went to the spot where Krishna's playing pastimes were going on with his cowherd boys. And as she was flowing towards Krishna in a stream of love, she's calling out to Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Ravindaksha, my lotus-eyed boy, Tata, my darling. As she was moving in this stream of love, the milk was pouring from her breasts. How intense her affection is. Just the thought of Krishna, just the thought of how she had to maintain Krishna was filling her with such affection. These feelings are so overpowering that she's flowing towards Krishna with milk pouring from her breasts. And she told Krishna, you please come back. It was with great difficulty that Krishna tried to free himself from his playmates, because you can remember what it's like when young children play. They get so absorbed. This is the point, absorption. When you're absorbed, you don't want to give something up. Remember that about sense gratification. It's the promise of absorption that keeps you hooked, even though the goods are never delivered. It's the promise. Oh, it's going to be better in the future. I know it. I know it. So Krishna and his cowherd boys, they were absorbed in playing. Therefore, it was difficult for them to give it up. Mother Yashoda said, you know, your father, he's waiting for you. He can't take his meals until you both come back. So Krishna then tried to leave, but then his cowherd boyfriends, they threatened, Krishna, how can you leave now when the playing is getting so intense and absorbing? How can we drop this? How can we stop this? It's such an absorbed feeling. And you're going? If you go now, we promise we'll never play with you again. No more absorption with us. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan showed fear. Oh no, my friends are threatening. They're not going to play with me anymore. This is God. Who can understand this without the solid backing and training of a Krishna conscious career? Who can understand how the Supreme Personality of Godhead is playing the role of being fearful of being ostracized by his playmates? So Krishna again went back to playing. This time Mother Yashoda, she became a bit sarcastic and cutting. And to get the job done, she said, "Krishna, are you some kind of street child? Are you like some orphan who has no home? Is that the situation?" "You know it's not the situation. Therefore, come home now. Anyway, it's your birthday. We've got to dress you up after we bathe you. We've got to decorate you with ornaments. And you've got to be prepared to give lots of gifts to the brahmanas. Look at your friends. Look at your playmates. They're all nicely bathed and decorated already. What about you?" And this way, Mother Yashoda was being a psychologist. She was trying to motivate Krishna based on what his peers were doing, what his peer group was doing. "Look at the other little boys. They're all clean. They're all well-dressed. What about you? You should also become clean and well-dressed." She's thinking that the Supreme Personality of Godhead needs a bath. The Supreme Purifier. She's saying, "You've been playing all morning. Look at you. Your body's covered with sand from playing in the meadows. And I know you're hungry. Don't you want to come home and suck my breast?" So finally, Krishna and Balaram, they went back. And they bathed and had their meals and prepared for Krishna's birthday celebration. So, who can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead acting in this way without a solid Krishna conscious career? It's not possible. You cannot comprehend the leelas, the pastimes of the Lord, unless you have the proper devotional attitude. Krishna wants to see, "What are you doing for me? How are you feeling for me? Then I'll let you understand me." And understanding Krishna is no small thing. Here in this verse, we're hearing how Devahuti and Gardama Muni, they're preparing for the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Lord Kapiladeva. How glorious an event is that? It appears that Kapiladeva is coming from the semen of Gardama Muni. It appears that Kapiladeva will come from the womb of Devahuti. But that is not so. That is not the ultimate truth. As you heard Prabhupada explain a few days ago in his purport, Nrisingadeva appears from a pillar. Lord Varaha appears from the nostril of Lord Brahma. So what then if Kapila apparently appears by taking shelter in the semen of Kardama Muni and then comes in the womb of Devahuti? What's the big deal? Krishna is everywhere. Sarvam Kalbidam Brahma. Everywhere there is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Parasya Brahmana Shakti Tateinam Akilam Jagat. Because his energy is everywhere, Krishna is everywhere. He can appear from any place at any time because he actually is there. So what's the problem if Krishna appears from the semen of Kardama Muni or the womb of Devahuti? There's no problem at all. He's already everywhere. But it's the love of the devotee that makes him manifest. In this situation, Devahuti, she's lamented to Kardama, "You're going now, but you should give me something more before you go. Give me something to protect me from fear. Give me something to stop my anxiety. Look at my position. I was attached to you for not the complete reasons. I was loving you and did not realize that I should have asked you for help in my Krishna consciousness. Don't hold it against me. I was just being attached, as I should be. But now I'm so sorry. I didn't get anything from you for my Krishna consciousness, and now you're leaving. How lamentable is my position. Then Kardama Muni told her, "Don't worry. I will leave you with a son who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead." He had already given Devahuti 9 daughters, but she was asking for something more. "Give me something that'll stop my anxiety. Give me something that'll stop my fearfulness." So Kardama Muni did that. He said, "From you, from your womb, the Supreme Personality of Godhead will take birth." Of course, Kardama Muni and Devahuti, they're different than Nanda and Yashoda, who did not care to know who Krishna was. They just loved him as their own son. Just like the verse Prabhupada refers to in the purport. Shrutim atade, shrutim itade, bharatam anye, bhajantu bhavabhita, aham yaha, nandam vande, yasya linde param brahma. Some people are studying the Shruti. Others are studying the Smriti. Still others are reading Mahabharata. They're afraid of material existence. What am I doing? The devotee says, "I'm worshipping Nanda Maharaj because in his backyard, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is crawling." This is the height of bhakti, beyond love of God in awe and reverence. This month of Kartik is a wonderful time to meditate on what Krishna is trying to demonstrate. He wants to demonstrate to you. Tadiyeshita geshu bhakchar jitatvam. Krishna wants to demonstrate to you there is something more than even love of God and opulence. I want to show you that. Why? Because when I show you this, your feelings will increase, and then your service will increase. So let us please remember our feelings, the role of our feelings in Krishna's service. It's not a small thing to think, how can I serve Krishna better? How can I be more absorbed? How can I put my heart into bhakti? How can I make my heart pure for Krishna's pleasure? And how can I have gladdened senses in devotional service? Just to start feeling like that causes Krishna to take notice. The more Krishna pays attention to your feelings, the more he rewards you with devotional service. The more we have absorption in devotional service, the more we can have the spiritual world, even here in the material world. So, any questions? Yeah. Yes, Chitakarma.
So, excuse me, my voice is not in the best shape. But when, we see, most people, unless they happen to be maybe some kind of singer or, highly placed politician, they seem to make a distinction between their work and what they do, what they would consider to be their service or their work and their actual source of enjoyment. The work is something to be endured. I remember I've been, when I was at university, you go there maybe with some idea, to study real hard, but soon you figure out the system and you schedule your classes so you don't have any classes on Friday and Monday. Or when I was in the military, you find out how to skate through it, as they say, do the minimum required. So how do you avoid, transferring those kind of mentalities into devotional service?
Yes, that's a very important question. How not to take our involvement in Krishna consciousness as most people take their duties in the material world. Just skate through, get by, you know, do enough that devotees don't get on your case for being Maya. Yeah, just, you know, keep your head above the water, tread water. Don't get into it too much. What's the fear of getting into it too much, supposedly? You might not be taking care of yourself. Got to watch it with devotional service. You could get into it so much that you neglect yourself. That fear is there. I want to give a bit because I suffered in the material world, so I want to do a bit of devotional service. I don't want to suffer anymore. At the same time, you know, I don't want to get too absorbed in devotional service because you never know what that Krishna is going to do to you. It's a lack of trust. I mean, you just don't know. If Krishna is a smart Bhagavan, he'll give me most of what I want, knowing that in that way I'll be enthusiastic in service. That would be a smart God. He should know that, you know, if he gives me what I want, I'll be highly motivated, and it'll be better for his own interests. But Krishna, as it turns out, as we found out, even being in devotional service for a few years, a short time, we found out that Krishna doesn't always do things our way. In fact, he seems to be independent. And here we are doing all this service, and Krishna is just going his own way. We have that fear. So we need trust of Krishna, and that'll keep us from just going through the motions. Going through the motions comes out of lack of trust. And you got to watch it. You know, you can't give too much. Just do enough so that you don't take an animal birth in your next life. Insurance policy. We're forgetting the nectar of absorption. And that nectar of absorption is tasted by those who are hungry for service. How do you get that hunger for service? Through association. So if we associate with those who have the immersion, the total immersion attitude, whether they're householders, brahmacharis, or sannyasis, you'll always find some devotees who have the total immersion attitude. How to live a balanced life immersed in Krishna consciousness, according to the style of your ashram. You'll always find those devotees if you're looking for them. But if you're looking for the duffers, if you're looking for, you know, those who just want to kind of skate through doing the minimum, you'll find those too. It depends on what you want. So this active, dynamic nature in Krishna's service, you pick that up through association. Therefore, who you associate with, that determines where you're going in Krishna consciousness. After 30 or so years, I can see that that is the case. Birds of a feather flock together. Just like here in New Dwarka, everyone knows, you can get whatever you want here. You want to be a serious devotee? You've got outstanding examples of serious devotees. If you want to be out there, you've got outstanding examples of how to be out there in Krishna consciousness while living, you know, a stone's throw from the temple. It's all up to you. So this community gives you a chance to manifest your independence according to what you want. And if you choose properly, you'll always be stimulated in Krishna's service, and you won't run that risk, as Judah Kamarpu was saying, of just coasting and now do the minimum. And you'll be inspired. Let me understand Krishna. Let me understand how to serve Krishna better. It's so enlivening. It's so absorbing. My senses are gladdened, and my heart's becoming pure. Archita Prabhu.
Experience in Krishna consciousness. Of course, I got my book from you. You got me started. But it seems to me that you need that initial thrust comes from a person who takes interest in you, just like Prabhupada took interest in us. And we got that personal shove, or we got it from one of Prabhupada's dedicated followers who gave us that first kick to get us over the hump. So I think quite a few devotees are feeling that lack. Either they have not yet chosen a spiritual master, or maybe the spiritual master is too aloof or too distant or whatever. But you always need that personal touch, that person who grabs you by the collar and says, look, you know, give it up. Give up this coasting. Give up this skating. You know, toe the line. Whatever. You need somebody to do that for you.
Well, I've come here, so you'll do it for me. Yes, Lord Chaitanya's mercy in the age of Kali is what makes the difference. So if you can situate yourself so someone takes an interest in your Krishna consciousness, you're very fortunate. We're talking about Mahabhaga, great fortune. And Lord Chaitanya, he's the bestower of the greatest fortune, in that even living entities suffering in the densest darkness of Kali Yuga, they get a chance to hear about Yashodamayi, Krishna, Nanda Maharaj. They get a chance to go to that platform. They get a chance to understand Yashodamayi's great fortune. And in this way, we become highly fortunate, although we're unqualified. So yes, we need to stimulate each other. In conclusion, based on something you said, Archita Prabhu, it's up to the prospective disciple to find a spiritual master who is going to take an interest in you and be able to take an interest in you. If you want a mail order guru, that's what you'll get. You know? Yeah, let me get somebody way on the other side of the universe. You know, I won't be bothered. You know, I'll just have the picture on my wall. And Jai Guru Dave, and you know, all glories to you. And I'll just, and I can just go on with my life, business as usual. The last thing I want is someone riding herd on me. That's not bhakti. The farther away he is, the better. Keep him up in the air. Fly. As soon as he lands on the ground, watch out. If that's what you want, then. Ideally, since you asked the question, it's very nice to find a spiritual master who works with the senior devotees of your community, and it makes a very powerful team that way. Very powerful team. The synergy. And that way you're surrounded by well-wishers. So that's my realization. If you can arrange things in that way, you'll be well taken care of in your Krishna consciousness. By the synergy of senior Vaishnava help. It's more than just one person's job. It takes a lot to get someone to be Krishna conscious. We need all the help we can get. So, if you're smart, as an aspiring disciple, you'll try to find who can inspire me to surrender, who can take an interest in me and wants to give me personal guidance as I'm going through the various travails of life, and who, not who will just smile at me and wink at me and leave me alone, or, you know, let's check out the silks he's wearing. How does he play the cartels? No, you've got to be looking for an active input in your life. And in conclusion, I'll say the best active input comes in terms of teamwork. When there are senior Vaishnavas working together, when your spiritual master is working together with the leaders of the community, it makes for wonderful spiritual protection. Wonderful spiritual protection, if that's what you want. And I hope everyone does want that maximum spiritual protection and impetus for going back to Godhead. Hari Bol, glories to Prabhupada.